is what does it mean to create a rhythm of life, taking our entire lives, our gifts, our relationships, our resources, just everything that we have, how do we then live that out in a rhythm to give God glory, give God praise, and to live out the calling and purpose that he has given to us in our lives? And so this morning we're going to hear 8 testimonies, 8 different ways from different people that they are seeking to do that. Hey, babe. One of those ways is through parenting. Yes. Yeah, you can do that. I'll tell you when, okay? Sorry about that. So part of living that rhythm of life is just, what does that mean to take our whole lives and live a life of worship for God? And so our theme verse for this series and really for this morning is this from Romans 12, 1 and 2 from the Message. It says, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. I want you to take your everyday, your ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work and walking around life. I want you to place it before God as an offering. So this entire life, how do we place our whole lives as an offering before God as an act of worship? Because embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. So don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. So instead, fix your attention on God. And I think that's just so key as we talk about developing a rhythm of life, that our gaze, our eyes, that we're fixed on him and who he is. And it says, as we do that, then we'll be changed from the inside out. So readily recognize what he wants from you, and then quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. It's an awesome passage of scripture, and that's what we're going to really be looking at this morning as people share. So, but before we do that, here's why we came to this place where we wanted to do testimonies. As I was thinking about this week, I realized over the last 5 weeks, starting with the State of MCC address, and then the first 4 weeks of our Rhythm of Life series, I recognized that I threw a lot at you. Like, we talked about a lot of really important things, and so here's just a summary of what we did. So during the State of the MCC address, I encourage you to make that one small change to your life that could lead to, down the road, just an enormous impact and significance down the line. And then we talked about this rhythm of life and what it means, and we looked at how do we develop a rhythm of life, and I encourage you to take time to listen to God, listen to the Holy Spirit, and then respond into humility to what he's leading you to. And then we took a week and we just looked at, who are we? What are our gifts? What are those talents? What are our passions? What are those things that break our heart? And how do we then live those out? How does God pull that out of us so we can live a rhythm of life for him? And then a couple weeks ago, we talked about making God our primary priority. And how oftentimes in life, like the priorities that we think we have and how we actually live our priorities, there's a discrepancy between the two. And so we talked about living a life with God as our priority, taking a Sabbath, resting in him, allowing him to call this out of us. And then last week, we looked at creating a mission statement. And I encourage you to be specific, to have a target, to write this mission, to rely on God, all these things. And so I was looking at all that. I was like, good grief. Like, if you literally went home and did everything over the last 5 weeks that I asked you to do or challenged or encouraged you to do, there would be a lot of change that would take place in just a few weeks of time, which is good. But I also realized, you know, that can be a lot to go on. So what we want to do this morning is just take a step back, just to listen to how this is working in other people's lives, to hear testimonies, hear stories, to be encouraged, that we don't want to compare, but we want to allow this to bring out, my prayer is that God would bring out our rhythm of life as you hear how this is working in other people's lives. And so that's what we're going to do, and then we're going to end with this just time of worship, because ultimately it's our worship of God that brings out the rhythm of life. And so I'm really excited for us just to do this, go after this morning. So I'm going to pray for our morning, and then we're just going to jump right into our testimony time. God, we thank you so much for this series. Thank you for the morning. Thank you for all these testimonies. Thank you for the opportunity we have to worship you. And God, I just pray that you would meet us in this place, just in this different kind of format that we have this morning. Lord, I thank you for the way that you're working in so many people's lives here at MCC. And I know we could have had way more testimonies than what we even have lined up today. But God, I just pray right now that you would encourage us, lead us, guide us today. In your name, amen. And so our first testimony is going to be, and this is why I want the kids to stay in here for the first couple, is because Noah Apple and Brandon are going to share. So if you guys want to come up and just talk about some of what this looks like for you.
Oh, yeah. Good morning, MCC. My name's Brandon, and this is
Noah Apple.
This morning, we want to give you a little bit of a glimpse into our rhythm of life, and more specifically, something that's been a big part of our life the last few years, and one of Noah's real passions in life, which is
sports.
basically from about the time he could walk, he's either been swinging a bat or bouncing a ball, sometimes off of my head. So why don't you tell everyone a little bit about the sports that you like to play?
I like to play baseball, basketball, and football.
And what is it about sports that you love so much?
I like that they're active and they're fun, and I get to be a part of a team.
So talk a little bit more about being a part of the team. What does that specifically mean for you?
Building friendships and working together to do one specific thing.
And how do you use your passion for sports to bring honor and glory to God?
First is trying hard and playing to the best of my ability. Another way is showing a good attitude and good sportsmanship. Finally, being a good teammate, someone who's encouraging and nice.
That's really cool. And one practical example that I see in your life where you compete hard and you show good sportsmanship and you're being a good teammate is in basketball. Why don't you talk a little bit about what position you play in basketball and how that really applies?
I play point guard, so I get to be a leader and bring the ball up the court. I like point guard because you get to have the ball a lot. I like driving and scoring, but the thing I like the most is making the really nice passes that allows my teammates to score. I get to make sure everyone is a part of the game and help all of them succeed.
That's really awesome. And I've really had a front row seat at this because I get to actually coach. And kind of growing up, as I got older and had kids, I figured I would coach, but I didn't realize that I would enjoy it as much as I did. I always enjoyed playing the game. I wasn't sure if I would enjoy coaching the game. But I get to work with a really great group of kids. Like Noah said before, he plays a lot of sports. And there's kind of the same core group of kids that all play the same sports. So I get to really interact with them. And they're really building some pretty awesome friendships, the type of friendship that, you know, is a lifelong type relationship and lifelong friendship. So it's really cool. And then I get the opportunity to basically speak into their lives, you know, to watch them grow and help them athletically, to help them socially, emotionally, to help them learn what it means to be a good friend, what it means to be a good teammate, what it means to work together to accomplish a greater goal, something bigger than themselves. So it's really, really an awesome opportunity. And then as an extension of that, we get to meet some really cool people, really cool families that are part of our sports family. So it's really exciting. And just really the awesome part about all of this is we basically just get to do something we love. For Noah, he gets to play the game, and for me, I get to coach the game. And then, you know, being connected with God and just adding a little bit of intentionality into it, it becomes something that God gets honor, and he gets the opportunity to move. So it's a really cool experience. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. That's it. You can just leave it on. I love just how this rhythm of life begins to form in different ways, even from a young age. That's really cool. Noah, thanks so much for sharing your story, and Brandon, just to see how the family comes together and begins to live that. I just think it's so powerful and amazing. So next we're going to have Nate Hopkins. Come on up. Nate Hopkins. There he is. Nate is a senior at Mechanicsburg High School, correct? And Nate, fun fact, Nate is he has since defeated me too much for this to be a fact. He was my arch nemesis in dodgeball for years, and I never got him. Anyways, you want to share what this looks like for you?
Yeah, so when Chad first asked me to talk about what the rhythm of life looks like in my life, I immediately thought, drums, that makes sense, because I'm a drummer, and so I'm like, okay, rhythm, drums, that makes sense. And so when I think of a rhythm of life, when I think of drumming, I think of something constant, something like a steady beat or something. And so that's what I immediately thought of, and I was like, okay, how can I tie that into? So I work for Salt and Light Youth Ministries. You can't see a good picture of that, but that's me drumming for them. It basically looks like an internship where in the summer season, I'm like never home, and my mom doesn't like that. never home, and I'm doing ministry all throughout the summer, so June, July, and August. I'm doing drumming. I'm doing acting, which I like, and doing like contemporary dance things, so a lot of really cool things. That I knew I had a passion for but never really got to do before this internship. So before this internship, I knew that God had put these talents and giftings in my life for music and acting and whatnot, but I didn't know how to use them. And so once I became part of the staff, I figured out this is why the Lord was kind of instilling these passions in me. So kind of going on a different track, we went... Salt and Light puts on a conference called a Zateo conference, okay? And so it basically looks like, I think we had 730 people in a conference center in Altoona. So we had a bunch of youth groups from central Pennsylvania, come to this one conference center, okay? And so we put on this big 4-hour drama, and we have worship, and we have a speaker. It's great. Kids come with their youth groups, and they learn about Jesus in the day, and then chug Mountain Dew at night. Classic youth retreat. So we're doing this drama, and it's 4 hours, and on the last day, there's this line that I really like that has stuck with me and kind of was brought back to my attention as Chad asked me, and the line goes like this. It says, if God's not showing up in clouds or pillars of fire, follow the repetitions, the motifs, and the things he's woven into you. And I think that line is really cool because I think so often we expect God to like blow the roof off of whatever, blow the roof off of this place when we miss him walking through the front door sometimes. And that's really special because sometimes he's offering things that were very obvious through the front door, like your giftings, like your passions, like your talents. And so when this internship was first given to me through Salt and Light, that was something that I was reminded of, is like, okay, I have these passions and now I can use them to glorify God.
That's awesome. Thanks, Nate. Come here. Do you want to tell them?
Kids, it's time to go to class.
Yep, kids, you can go to class. So kids, head on out. We still have some more testimonies, but you guys can head on to your classes. Part of her rhythm of life is speaking into the microphone. So Nate, thanks so much. I love that testimony. And the fun thing to watch just with Nate's life is just seeing how God has brought this opportunity, like with Salt and Light, that's been such an incredible fit to who he is and what he's been created to do, and how God just opened that door for him to just really live out of not only just his gifting, but his passions and who he is and who God's made him to be. It's really fun to see. And I hope that as you hear these stories, you'll begin to see how God has woven those things into your life as well. So next, Deb Apple. I've asked Deb Apple to come and share. So if you want to come on up, Deb.
Nice.
I didn't do that. If it's on Facebook, it's fair game, though.
Those are two cool chicks, let me tell ya. Anyway, well, Chad asked me to tell what retirement is like, and I'm not sure if I really consider myself retired. If you think about what retirement looks like for a lot of people, you know, sitting on the porch, rocking on a rocking chair is not me at all. So if that is what you think retirement is, or just kind of sitting around chatting with your friends in a, you know, a combined home or whatever, that's not for me either right now, thank the Lord. Mm-hmm. But I did want to write some things down because I have a tendency to get off track. Probably since I've retired, I've grown the most spiritually than I have at any other point in my life. And I think it's part of it has been possibly, maybe I feel like I have more time to spend with God or to connect with people. But I think one of the things that really kind of pushed me into that was being involved in a small group and at McBick. And we were really challenged in that small group to get out of our comfort zone and really learn to listen to God, to do things maybe that we haven't ever done before. So it caused me to learn to be listening more to God and trying to be obedient. And I've certainly missed a lot of opportunities. But when I actually follow a prompting, I'm always amazed. Roger and I have had the opportunity to pray for many people in many different situations, but I'll just give a couple examples here. We've had an opportunity to pray for a friend in the grocery store. When we walked in, I saw this person riding on one of those scooters, and I thought, oh my, you know, they look kind of young, actually, and I thought, and I didn't really know who it was until I actually got around the cart, and I noticed it was someone that we knew, and I was kind of taken back because I didn't realize that this person had any health issues, at least nothing to the extent of needing a scooter to get around in the grocery store. So we struck up a conversation, like, you know, kind of a little bit of a catch-up, and then we said to this person, you know, what their issue was, and they shared, and so Roger and I said, would you be okay if we would pray for you? You know, right there, we're in the produce section of the grocery store. Hey, what a better place, right? So we said a prayer, and we might have actually prayed several times. We've kind of learned this thought process of, or this theory of praying where we pray for a specific need, like an illness or a sickness, and then we will say, okay, maybe first we would say on a scale of 1 to 10, like, what was your pain level? And then we pray, and then we say, did you feel anything, like, you know, any warm or cold or tingling or anything like that? And most times the people say, no, we really haven't felt anything. So then we said, okay, well, let's pray again. So we will pray again and then kind of repeat the process. And sometimes they still don't really have noticed anything. Well, then we say, well, how about trying to do something that you couldn't do before? So this person, we did this with this person, and I said, well, how about you get up and try to walk? You know, I'll walk right here beside you, so, you know, if you feel you can, Roger and I are right here to catch you. And so this person did and was totally shocked and amazed. We were all blown away that they could actually walk around in the store. And they were so excited, they called their spouse right away and said, you would not believe this, and they're going on and on. And not to say that that person was totally healed in that. I think one of the things that I learned as time went on with that situation, I think that person did receive some healing at that time, but not total healing. But it gave that person, plus Roger and I, confidence to go out and try it again. What do we have to lose? If we don't pray, there's a chance they won't get healed. But if we do pray, there's a chance that they will get healed. So, and then another situation that I had was I was challenged about maybe two years ago now to pray for police officers. It's when that time when it seemed like everybody was kind of putting them down and they were experiencing some issues. And so I was challenged and to pray at noon. And so I was meeting a friend at the mall, one of my favorite places to be. And it was noon, and it wasn't quite time for us to meet. And so I was sitting there kind of going over, you know, my thoughts. And sort of there was a prayer given in this challenge that you could kind of pray. So I was sort of reading over that. And I looked up, and of course, wouldn't you know it, there's about 4 or 5 police officers sitting having lunch together. I thought, oh, are you kidding me? You know, I thought this would just be one little person I run in, you know, in the hallway. But no, of course, it had to be a whole table full of people. So I thought, okay, well, here I go. So I went over to them, and, you know, they kind of looked at me, and I said, would you be okay if I prayed a prayer of blessing over you? And they said, well, yeah, sure. It was actually a couple. There was a woman and a man, and then there were, I think, 2 police officers that were dressed in uniform. So I just said this prayer and kind of went on my way. And as I'm walking away, this one woman came running out of nowhere, it seemed like, and she goes, I am so amazed. I can't believe that you did that. I've been wanting to do that for such a long time, and I never had the nerve. Just come over here with my husband. He'll tell you. And she was like dragging me over there. And I said, okay, well, you know, I'm just trying to be obedient and trying to step out of my comfort zone. So then I walked over to Starbucks, and I met someone that I knew, and we got to talking a little bit, and I said, well, you won't believe what just happened to me. And so I told her, and she said, well, I actually work at the police station. And she said, those guys were having lunch with a former female officer. She had recently resigned because she felt she wasn't being appreciated. And so I said, well, I prayed and asked God to bless them all, so who knows what's going to happen there. So anyway, those were just kind of 2 examples that that I can think of in my life. And most of you know that we have 5 grandchildren, and we really love spending time with them. And we have the extreme privilege of walking alongside their parents, hopefully modeling what godly life looks like, what godly parenting and godly love looks like. And so, of course, at times, as you know, with children, that can be a challenge, but hopefully they look to Mimi and Papa as a role model in their life. I've also had the privilege of decorating and coordinating events. And a lot of times it's weddings, and a lot of times it's friends whose kids have gotten married. Maybe it's kids that I even know. In fact, Chad and Michelle were one of my people that I helped with their wedding, and there are others here as well. And it's just such a blessing to me when someone says, "Hey, could you help with, you know, decorating or coordinating?" My adrenaline flows like extremely. Like, I have to hold myself down. I can hardly sleep at night. I'm like going a million miles an hour in my head. I have to run to all the craft shops and get all the supplies I need, even though I probably already have most of them. I still need to go and get my little craft
shop. I know the feeling. I know.
Craft shop fix. It's kind of like Chad and his
butterfly in the middle, like, yeah.
His pillows, you know, the decorating pillows. So, anyway, so I used that as a ministry a long time ago. I started doing it, and I never really knew, like, how to charge people, and I just really didn't feel right because I had so much fun doing it. So I just decided a long time ago, I'm sure it was prompted by God, that I would use it as a ministry. And so I use it as a ministry. I don't charge. I do accept an honorarium because I do get some expenses involved in some of my trips, but, you know, that's how it is. But anyway, sometimes I get a lot. Some people are fortunate enough to extremely bless me, and then others, you know, can't hardly give anything at all, and that's perfectly fine. I don't do it for the money anyway, so I do it to bless people. So as for me, retirement doesn't mean slowing down. It just means continuing my journey by sharpening my listening skills, getting out of my comfort zone, and loving others.
That's awesome. Thanks. Thank you, Deb. I love just the you know, from Noah to retirement. Like, we just never stop growing. We never stop discovering who we are and living out who God's created us to be. And there's it plays itself out differently throughout the years, and I just think it's really powerful and exciting to see that. So the next person that's going to share is Cody. Cody Wanner, if you follow him on social media, he does a daily vlog, which is a video blog, which a blog is apparently something you'd like type up on the computer, and then a vlog is like a video. Anyways, so he does these things every day, and so I asked him to do one in that style of how his rhythm of life plays out. So why don't you play Cody's video?
Hey, MCC. Sorry I can't be with you there today. Truck's coming. I am celebrating my father-in-law's 60th birthday at a cabin in the Poconos. Really excited about it. Chad asked me to, in a vlog style, talk about this concept of how do I see myself lifting up my life as a living sacrifice to the Lord day to day. I just want to pause for a moment and say how much more incredibly easy this is for me than for everybody else who had to do this live in front of you, because I have this wonderful tactic called editing that I can just cut. So in order to address the topic, I thought, what better way to do it than to come down here to downtown Mechanicsburg and talk about how I see myself doing this in a day-to-day way. The thing that I think I'm gonna focus on is encouragement. Pretty busy out there on Main Street, thought I'd come on one of these side streets. Encouragement, there's a couple times in the New Testament where the Bible tells us to encourage one another. For me, it's something that comes pretty naturally, but it's also something that I've totally embraced as one of my passions, part of my mission in life. Plays out a couple different ways. I can obviously encourage my kids, I can encourage Amber, my wife, but also because of the position that I'm in at work, I have the ability to encourage my team members, both in career and then life and their personal stuff. The last thing that I'll say about encouragement is that it's not always easy. Yes, there's the tough part of you know, sometimes it's hard to find something nice to say, but I think the harder part is actually our culture doesn't really know always what to do with encouragement. A lot of times we try to deflect it. A lot of times we feel uncomfortable when we receive it. So it's not always easy, but it's something that I'm committed to.
I just want to thank Cody for pulling that together. And if you know Cody at all, the cool thing that's watching this vlog thing play out for him is just his personality and then his gifting with video and how those two things come together on screen. He's able to encourage people every day through this vlog. It's just really cool to see how God's just gifted him so much, not only just with the technical stuff, but also his personality and how that plays out. Like, most of us would not be able to do that like that, but he can, and he's living it out, and it's just really exciting to watch. So next I'm going to have Lindsay Ebner come on up. Lindsay created a piece of art along with this. She's very artistic. She's also our new MCC ministry assistant. She's making a run at my Employee of the Month each month. But
I'll let you keep your parking spot.
Thank you.
The word rhythm makes me think of dancing, and if I had to describe my current rhythm of life, I would equate it to the dance moves of an eighth grade boy at his first middle school dance. Jerky, unpredictable, and laughable. Becoming a parent has been the most incredible change of my life. I'm learning to give of myself in a way that takes time, patience, and a whole lot of Jesus. For someone with a type A personality like myself, I would prefer to have the rhythm of a ballerina. A life with routine, structure, and punctuality gives me an inner sense of peace. Then I became a mom. Enter a child. Your child laughs or cries at the schedule that you so gleefully planned. Now I have a clearer picture of what God's reaction is to my plans. He's laughing, or maybe crying, at what I want to happen. The rhythm of life is something that fits my personality and my desires, but having a child changed the smooth, graceful rhythm I enjoy. Ben had us on our toes from day one when he decided to spend the first few days of his life in the NICU. My post-delivery plans of bonding, taking pictures, and naming our son quickly went out the window. Having your newborn son taken away from you would set most new moms into hysterics. But the most perfect part of this potentially terrifying situation is that I had peace that passed all understanding. The Lord provided for me in ways that I can't even begin to describe from the beginning hours of Benjamin's life. Staying home with Ben has given me small glimpses into God's love for me and his desire for a relationship with him. It's a mind-blowing responsibility to teach my precious little boy about who Jesus is. One morning when he didn't want to take a nap, I was whispering to him, "It's okay, you're not alone, Jesus is with you." This simple truth is just such a solid reminder in the midst of long, tiring, emotionally, and physically draining days. God is with me even when plans don't go my way. Recently, there was a day that Ben was screeching and fussing. My immediate thought was, I need to text Matt and ask him to pray for our day. God spoke so clearly to me in that moment, and he asked, "Why do you run to him and not me?" It is so easy to send a quick text to a friend who is in the same situation. Someone can give you, someone who can give you empathy or an encouraging word. And there is so much strength and support in a community of fellow parents. But I am learning that in my rhythm of life, I need to not always run towards earthly relationships, but instead to turn to Jesus. A dear friend recently reminded me that his mercies are new every morning. Each day is a new day on the journey with Jesus and a fresh opportunity to invite him into the daily happenings of my life. By now, 10 months into motherhood, I thought for sure that I would have the rhythm figured out. A perfect balance of sleep, fun, sleep, play, church, sleep, eating, and some more sleep. But I have to say, I still have the rhythm of a middle school boy with the jerky dance moves, just trying to survive another JT song. Yet God gave me the most perfect picture at the women's worship night, back even before Chad had invited me to share this morning. I was dancing gracefully and beautifully in a way that I could only dream of. I think that vision was God telling me that my new rhythm can be seen as beautiful in his eyes if I fix my eyes on him. regardless of the condition of my home, the amount of sleep I get, how good or bad dinner tastes, or how I look. My encouragement to you is that if your current life stage might not look or feel as tidy as you might want it to, pursuing a relationship with God will help to turn your helicopter dance moves into moves like Jagger.
Nice. Thanks, Lindsay. What's wrong with the helicopter? I don't quite pick that. And just Lindsay and all of you, when you have the third child, everything flows wonderfully. It's like clockwork. It's amazing. No, thanks. That was awesome. Powerful words. Dave Hellman's going to come share next. Dave works for Cure International, which if you're familiar with that ministry, incredible ministry, has hospitals around the world just doing healing kids from diseases that can be healed.
Awesome, thanks. I work at Cure International, and as Chad said, we operate hospitals all around the world, and it's a really cool mission to be a part of. Cure's mission statement is to heal the sick and proclaim the kingdom of God, it might seem like it's really easy to see how my spiritual life is woven in with my day-to-day life, but working in the finance department, it can feel really disconnected from the actual healing of the sick and proclaiming of the kingdom. Cure's been an amazing opportunity for me, and I've been able to even travel to most of the hospitals. But because I'm in finance, my job ends up having me in an office in front of a computer, even when I'm in the different countries. For example, I was in Malawi a few weeks ago and didn't see really any of the kids the entire time that I was there. I was in an office poring over spreadsheets. And so you can come back from that and, you know, everybody wants a story when you come back from a place like Africa, and I didn't have like an inspiring story to tell. But whenever Chad asked me to speak, the first thing that came to my mind was Tim Mead is one of our orthopedic surgeons, and in a video that we did not that long ago, he talked about how the operating room is his worship service. And whenever he said that, it was over a time when I was pouring through budgets, and it was just this stuff that for almost everybody would be just really, really excessively boring. And I was digging it. I don't know. I mean, it was just I was deep in this spreadsheet, and I was like, this is a beautiful spreadsheet, and it was amazing. And God really just spoke to me in that moment and was like, that is your worship service. That is it. Like, that is how you're serving me, is to be able to do this thing that, yeah, a lot of other people can do, but a lot of people can't do. And it was just a really clear picture for me that even though I'm not getting to play with the kids and do all those things, which really wouldn't feel all that natural for me anyway, he does have a purpose for me in that.
That's awesome. Thanks, Dave. I love just that there's not this difference between like sacred and secular, that we can worship however we've been created to do. And whether if that's like numbers or whatever that gets you like fired up, like use that as an act of worship to the Lord wherever you find yourself. And I think it's so significant for us to understand that we are ministers wherever we find ourselves. And also, if you've never seen like a really good spreadsheet, you don't know art. You don't know art. It's gorgeous. Anyways, our next testimony is Brittany Martinson. She recorded a video for us, if you want to play that now as well.
Hi, everybody. Chad asked me to share on how I live my life as a mom in worship to God. Well, I can't say it's always easy, but I try to ask him for creative ideas throughout the day or the week or moment by moment sometimes. My life with three boys 17 months apart from each other is a little crazy and exhausting and overwhelming, so I frequently have to pray for creative ideas or for patience or guidance or wisdom or all of the above. I have an example. Last week the boys were wrestling and hurting each other and driving me crazy, and I just took a second to pray, and God gave me the idea to have them run through our small little apartment and jump off the couch and high-five the door, and it seemed to be just what they needed, just a little bit of running around, something to do. I can't say I always do that, but I know that I have to find things that give me life, so I know for me it's worship and journaling, writing, dancing. Yeah, kind of where how I know that Jesus will speak to my soul, my spirit, and give me life so that I can continue in my crazy, everyday overwhelmingness. I'm also learning how to try to take life in perspective. If I've been out a lot with the boys and I'm feeling stressed, I try to stay home a little bit more. But if I'm home too much, I try to get out. Just getting a balance. It is very difficult, and I do not have it all together. But I guess it's just the little moments. I am learning to try to curb my frustration with my boys when they don't seem to listen or anything like that. And I feel like that's my offering to God, is really trying hard to not get frustrated, trying hard to not dwell on the fact if I'm lonely or dwell on the fact that there's lots of chores to be done, but to honor him with my thoughts. Yeah, that's really something I've been learning and working on. And just to honor him with even the way I talk to Tom and my husband, and think about other people like my parents or just people that I'm thinking about, trying to honor God by honoring them in the way that I think about them and speak about them. With my boys, I know I try to introduce God a lot. We pray before nap time, before bedtime, and before every meal. And I've, you know, been trying to read them more Bible stories or talk about God, tell them where he is. You know, for a two-year-old, he's in the sky. So that's how I do it.
Awesome. Thanks. Thanks, Brittany, for sharing. I love just the idea that God meets us wherever we're at, whenever we need him. And you know, for those of us that are parents, we've definitely had those moments where it's like, God, I need you right now to help me. But whether it's work, whether it's in the grocery store, whether it's whatever that is, like just how God meets us in those moments and brings this out of us, gives us new ideas, and we're able to connect with him in this beautiful rhythm, and it's absolutely amazing. So our last testimony then is going to be Cheryl Hopkins. So she's going to come up and share.
So a couple of years ago, a friend of mine was diagnosed with cancer and pretty sick. And those are always really hard situations to know what to say and what to do. And I remember just kind of struggling with, oh, I should visit, or I should, I don't know, call. But it felt so awkward. And I don't know that I was necessarily praying for God to give me something to do, but the idea came into my head, since I sing, to go over and sing over her. And I was so afraid to do that. What song would I choose, you know? And I got hung up on the details. And I was very nervous to go over, even though I sing in front of people all the time. That one-on-one made me really nervous. And I put it away, actually, out of my mind for a couple, well, it wasn't out of my mind, I just ignored it for a couple of days, and then I just couldn't ignore it anymore, and I really felt like I needed to go over to her house. And so I felt like there'd be some comfort in numbers, so I invited a couple friends that I knew were mutual friends, and we all went over and put on, it wasn't Spotify back then, I don't know what it was, but something music-wise, that it wasn't just me singing, it was, you know, nice, great voices singing, and then we all just kind of sang together. And I saw the fruit of that in her expression, and she was very coherent at that point, and she sang along, and it was something amazing. It wasn't necessarily the songs that we sang, but there were times where the lyrics just caused her to cry out to God for help, or maybe it was songs of encouragement or whatever. But that was the first time that I understood that God had created me not just to lead people in worship, but to bring the presence of Jesus to people who are hurting. And I know that how it's ministered to me in my life when someone sent me a song and said, hey, I've been thinking about you, here's a song, and seems like it's so timely. And so I sort of began to pay attention a little bit more to that sort of thing when there would be someone who would have a child in the hospital. I could totally relate. And I could go and I could sit with them and I could say, hey, you know, I can relate and this stinks. And that's all good and fine. But eventually it would always come around to me singing a song over them or something. And the more that I did it, the more I kind of felt like, you know, like the Eric Little or Eric Liddell, whatever, how you pronounce his name from the movie Chariots of Fire, thank you, how he felt God's pleasure. I felt that, and I felt that his pleasure, but I also understood that this was an act of worship and obedience, and there was that's where the pleasure was coming from, knowing that God created me to have these gifts and the ability to do it, and I needed to step out and obey. Just a couple quick examples. Another example, a friend of ours, some of ours here, Steve Myers, was seriously hurt in a motorcycle accident, and it didn't look good for him, and he was in, I guess, ICU is what they call it, or wherever, and his family, his girls were there, and his wife, and I had met the girls a couple times through youth group, and they contacted me on Facebook and said, hey, could you come in and just sing over our dad? And I didn't know how they knew that I did that, but oh, I was so afraid because Steve was unconscious. They said he didn't have brain activity, and I knew the family would be there, and what do I sing? And I got caught up again in that. And then I just felt like God wouldn't let me go with that. And he kept saying to me, there's such power in bringing my presence into trauma and into places where there's hurt. And so I just dragged Mark along with me, and he played guitar, and I just sang, and there was such a sweet sense of being able to just sing songs. I hadn't written them, but they were lyrics that I know that as I sang those songs, they were powerful in my life. And so one opportunity, the wife and the daughters were just really distraught, obviously, and they were crying and sobbing. And I sensed Jesus just say, go really close to Steve's ear. And I didn't know if he was in there, if he was brain dead, if he could understand me, but I knew his spirit was still there. And I knew Jesus lived in my spirit, so spirit to spirit, there had to be some connection. So I got real close to his ear, and I sang Good, Good Father. Mark played it, and we probably butchered it, but I sang that in his ear, and I don't know what happened. I mean, he didn't wake up miraculously, and he actually ended up dying a few days later. And yet, I have to believe that the Holy Spirit used that simplicity just to minister to him. In his state that he was at. And it ministered to me, and I know it ministered to the wife and the daughters in some way. There was another opportunity that I had. The same friend, when I found out, the one that I found out had cancer months later, she was not doing well. They called in hospice. And I went over with a sister and another friend, and they asked me to come over and sing over them, over her. So I went over, and the sister and the friend left the room, and it was just me and my friend, Cheryl, her name was also. And she, you know, hospice was in, so she was taking very shallow breaths, and you could tell the end was near, and I felt like, wow, what a privilege I have. So I crawled up in bed beside her, and I passed this by the sister first, but I crawled up in bed beside her, and I just sat there and hummed and sang Spotify or whatever was on at that time, and I just sang those songs, and it was kind of like, it was warfare, kind of, like, I'm claiming this is peaceful for her, and her passing will be peaceful because Jesus' presence is here, and Jesus brings peace, and Jesus brings calm. So powerful for me, and I felt like God's pleasure again. And then one of the very last times was my grandma. She was 93, and she was dying. They had called in hospice. And so my sisters and I went in one evening and just to sit around and talk to her and touch her. And, you know, I don't know if she could understand us or what, but eventually my sisters left, and it was just me and my grandma and the cleaning staff. And I just got real close to her and held her hand and kind of stroked her arm, and I know the power of Jesus' presence, and I thought, what better way to enter the kingdom than to just bring in Jesus' presence by songs that she can identify with. So I started to rack my brain for all of these songs, and the Holy Spirit just kind of brought them to my mind, of old hymns that were powerful to her when she was growing up and just meant so much to her. And I just sang them over her, and the cleaning staff would come and just kind of take a look, and you know, and they would keep going doing their thing, and just the privilege that was. And so I'm so thankful years and years ago that that I quit being a chicken. And some, I still get nervous, but to some degree, because I get caught up in, what am I going to say? Is it going to be awkward? They're dying. What do I say? Or they're really hurting in this situation. I can't relate, but I can relate because the Holy Spirit lives in me, and He's the one that speaks. So what I wanted to do is actually, Mark, if you don't mind bringing the guitar up, is just sing one of those songs that I sing over people sometimes, and it's just inviting the presence of Jesus. And I want to encourage you to close your eyes where you are and just allow the presence of Jesus to minister to you wherever you are at. Hopefully none of you are dying, but we're all in a situation where we're hurting some way, shape, or form. And even if there's someone that you know that's hurting, singing these lyrics or allowing the Holy Spirit just to cover over that person that you're thinking of in a prayerful kind of way is really powerful. So I'm going to just sing a simple chorus. It's real simple. It's nothing fancy. And God asked me to pick up the guitar a couple years ago, but I ignored Him, and then so months ago, and I picked it up, and so I'm not great, but He doesn't care, and hopefully you don't either. And then out of that, we're going to do some worship together. So I won't be amplified, but it doesn't really matter.
I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from You, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how I need You, Lord. You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for You to come and rescue me. Come and give me life. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from You, Maker of heaven, Creator of the earth. Oh, how You are my only hope. You are my only prayer. So I will wait for You to come and rescue me. Come and give me life.
Carol, worship team, you can come on up. I'm going to wrap up. And I pray that during that song, that you were just able to connect with the presence of Jesus and feel His love for you. So we're going to end with this time of worship. And I was last night I had the opportunity with our kids. We got to go roller skating. And it was their first time. And my kids are 7, 5, and 2. And so they all had roller skates. And it was so cool to see as a parent, like, well, this is going to sound bad, but they would fall down. But then they kept getting themselves back up, which is the part that was really cool. And throughout the whole night, they just wanted to learn. They kept falling down. Then I would pick them back up, and they would fall down. They would pick them back up. And it was this thing, and it made me think of how oftentimes, like in life, just as we're trying to live out this rhythm of life where we just kind of fall, or there's stuff happens, or life changes, and it feels like, oh, just we're falling down, and then God picks us back up, and we... Sometimes maybe it feels like we're skating like smoothly through life, and it feels like we're going fast, and it feels awesome. And there's other times where it just feels like we're just crashing, we're falling, and the skates keep going out from us. But He's just there picking us up, putting us back on our feet, and allowing that rhythm to continue again. It just was this beautiful picture to me of what God does and how the rhythm of life comes out of our worship for God. There's no other way that we can develop a rhythm of life other than living a life of worship for Him. And so one of the ways that we do that here, and it's oftentimes is through music, through singing. And the reason for that, I think, is one, I think music is just such a powerful thing to do corporately. There's something really significant about when we come together and we declare and we sing these songs together as one, not just individuals, but as a collection, as one body, and we sing and we give up these praises, we share these praises with God, and it begins to fix our eyes and our attention on Him. And it's as we do that, as we live out our lives of worship, that God begins to call out who we truly are, and we get to live our true selves. We can only find our true selves as our eyes are fixed on Him, and so that's how we're going to end. So if you want to stand, we're going to sing a couple songs, and I also just want to encourage you, if anything that was said, or you just came in just feeling heavy and kind of overwhelmed with life, we have a prayer team that will be available in the back. I would just encourage you to go pray with them. They would love to minister to you. That's part of how they live out their rhythm of life. And so I just encourage you to connect with them so that they can help you to connect with the Holy Spirit, with God as well. So let's sing together.